The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholicers. We like to call it the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of Underdog Media. You can also find us on Podcast One. You are listening, as usual, to Sean, Ryan, and Sam Van Dam. Sam, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just working today, trying to get to a point where I can watch this game tonight, not be tied down by work. So.
Oh, I know how that is. That's like because you know my thing is the NFL, as you know, and basically Sunday is sit down day for me. That's it. I just sit. So, speaking of the finals, let's just dig in right into that. Oh, wait. Before I do that, just want to remind everybody out there who plays fantasy football, the Fantasy Football Almanac, the 2019 version. So it's the 2019 Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide is available on Amazon. It's awesome. Read the reviews. There's a free sample on the website, functionalsportsaholic.com. And you can also tweet at me. I'm at TFS underscore Sean. That's S-E-A-N if you have any questions. But it's awesome. Free off-season advice. I don't really feel like talking much more about that today, Sam. So
that's fine, man. You just need to send me the link so I can purchase that.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. Actually, if anybody out there, you just go to Amazon. Easy enough. Amazon, just search for Fantasy Football Almanac or search for Sean Ryan. You can get that. Pick that puppy up, buddy.
All right, I will.
Puppy up. All right, so NBA Finals, Toronto. So I didn't say this to you last week. I meant to, and I was kicking myself for not doing it. And I said this to Brad on the Get Paid podcast earlier this week. I made this note, but I was going to say to you last week, look, you know, we knew Toronto won game one last week by the time we recorded. And I said, okay, you know, obviously, you know, I've been seeing Warriors. You've been seeing Warriors for most of the season. And I said, you know, Warriors in five or six is what I picked. And what I meant to say to you before we signed off last week was, you know, with Toronto, is this a situation? It could be. And I think we could see it in game two if it was going to happen or not. But you remember when the old Pistons, the Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups Pistons ran through Los Angeles and everybody was just like, whoa, where did that come from? And it was like, I think it was a sweep in that series. So I was wondering, like, okay, if Toronto can steal game two, yeah, they're at home. And I know you say, Sim, that you know, the series isn't a series until someone wins on you know, somebody else's court, which I agree with. But I thought, man, if Toronto could win game two, you know, they're playing with a lot of confidence against kind of an like a hurt and banged up Warriors team. That game was out there for them to take, man, and they blew it.
It was. They did blow it.
So I wanted to get your thoughts, man, in game two. Tell me all about it.
Well, I was really happy the NBA put the kibosh on the Drake coverage. Could definitely tell that was a non-factor, and they basically told NBC, we still have a partnership with you. We don't want to see Drake every 2 minutes. And they did not show him at all.
Good.
And they actually made him change his hoodie, as he had that Kevin McAllister hoodie on. And then they made him change into just a Toronto Raptors hoodie. because they're like, listen, man, you're out here trying to steal the show. Instead, they showed Obama a lot, which, you know, I'm much more happy that they're showing Obama. So
I like post presidency Obama, by the way. I like the swagger he's got. I don't need to get elected anymore, so I can just be myself, Obama. Right. I like that version of Obama better. I wish that version of Obama was the president.
Yeah, I like Obama. Man.
Yeah, Obama was fine. I'm a moderate guy anyway. I actually prefer moderate Republicans, believe it or not. But they're just that's an extinct thing. That thing doesn't exist anymore. So I lean liberal now until somebody can come to their freaking senses over on the other side. Jeez.
Yeesh. Right.
Anyway, that's enough politics. So
I got you.
Man, you know what? Here's what I don't understand. I said enough politics, but here's what I don't understand about politics. Right? So you have the Republicans who are supposed to be the Christian party and the fiscal conservatives. And then you have the liberals who are supposed to be, you know, like the people that spend a bunch of money and all this stuff. They're, you know, foolhardy and all this. I don't understand why people think that brand still holds for the Republicans. They spend more money than liberals do. And, you know, in terms of Christianity, like they treat people much more poorly. there's a lot more judgmental. Like, none of this brand of Republicans, it just doesn't hold up anymore, man. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't get it. I wish that the party could still be that way. And by the way, everybody out there, you can be Christian and not be an asshole. Like, I'm right. One of these people. There's about four of them in the world right now. You can be Christian and not be an asshole. It is possible. So I just want to throw that out there as well.
I got anyway, you.
Let's get back to sports.
I agree. Let's get back to it.
I'm a little tired. I must be cranky today.
You are a little cranky, man.
Yeah, you know what it was? I went on a I had a job interview. So as listeners of the show know, I'm kind of a free agent. I'm doing my own thing. I'm freelancing. I'm enjoying life. But I came across this job. It's a lot of money. And it's so good for my family that I kind of have to try for it and have to take it if it comes. And part of me wants it and part of me doesn't. And so, like, I'm at war with myself right now. So I was just on an interview right now that went probably so-so because I'm a little conflicted about it. So it went so-so. I knocked the first interview out of the park yesterday and got this other one. Yeah. I was talking directly to the president. The president liked me, and then he's I'm going to meet with him in person and, whenever that is. And, I'm probably going to get some kind of job offer, somewhere in the organization. But, work.
You are so grumpy.
Yeah, I am grumpy, man.
You're such a curmudgeon, man. You're so over it. Don't take the job then.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing though. But it's a lot of money. I wouldn't say it's life changing money, but it certainly it gets me a house next to you though. I'd be able to get a second place, so that'd be nice. Life adulting, man.
I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, and by the way, like our guys trip too, for some reason we picked the more expensive cabin with less bedrooms last night as a group.
Yeah.
Smaller kitchen, smaller rec room, more expensive. What don't you love about that scenario?
It did look nicer, man.
It looked nicer because the pictures in the other one were I will back you up. The pictures in the other, it did look dingy, but it was because they took the pictures at night. And there's no yard.
Yeah,
no yard in it.
Yeah. Nah, man, I like this one. I'll sleep on the couch. I usually do anyways.
Nah, I know you do. I'm not worried about the bedrooms. I'm worried about the bugs outside.
Oh, dude. There's no bugs in October.
That's what you say, man. We'll see.
North Carolina, man. There's not bugs in Florida in October.
We'll see, man. We'll see. All I'm saying is there's bugs. If there's bugs, I'm not going outside. I'm not dealing with mosquitoes.
That's fine. I can.
So we all, the stakes. I know the stakes. It's out there. We know. And as long as I don't have to deal with Gooch screaming at me to go outside and drink Basil Hayden or whatever bourbon he's drinking that night
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say I told you when we booked this damn cabin that if there were bugs, Sean doesn't go outside when it's buggy outside. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Nah, man. And I'll sit there and I'll just say, come on, man. You've been dealing this with him for years and years. That's my stance.
Yeah, man. While you're laughing at the whole situation too.
Oh, I'm an instigator.
I know you've always been. You've always been. Sorry. What are we? 8 minutes in. We've been teasing this NBA Finals for a long time. Okay, let's get back. So we talked about Drake. NBC put the kibosh on it. That's good because I was sick of it, as we talked about last week. The game, man. So, I think they both went through stretches where they're having a tough time getting baskets. But like the Golden State, everybody got hurt. What happened there? How did Toronto not I know they won. I know they went 5 minutes, 6 minutes without a basket or something like that. But what the hell happened?
Yeah, they had a tough time scoring. Anytime, and that's the problem I think with Toronto is when, Kawhi's locked up or he's not having a great game, they really got to have other guys step up. And that's something we talked about, the Warriors got good bench play, which has kind of been a so-so for them, but they're going to need that going forward because I don't know. Right now, Clay's questionable for tonight. Obviously, this will come out another day. But, Durant's not playing. Looney's out for the rest of the series.
Is he? I saw he was out. I didn't know he was out for the rest of the series. What happened to him?
Yeah, he's done. I don't remember what exactly happened with him, but he's done. So they're really banged up. So they're going to need, it's good that their next two games are at home. and they need to win both of those because, yeah, they're pretty banged up, and Steph's gotta have big games.
That's the interesting thing about Steph is like he's gonna get his, but there's gonna be a couple games that he's, you know, how many games? So we got 5 games left in the series if it goes 7. It went 7, which is possible now with all these injury issues, and they are going back to Toronto, so you can think at least we're going to get 6. I would bet on there being 6 games at this point, with how banged up they are.
Oh, for sure.
And so, you know, with Curry in 5 games in his history in the finals, he might have 2 clunkers. He might. I wouldn't bet on that. I wouldn't, and I'm not going to bet on that. But it's possible that he has 2 clunkers, and if Steph has 2 clunkers, with the injury issues everywhere else, those again, they should just like Game 2 should have been Toronto. Toronto should win those 2 games. So that's going to be interesting, man. I don't know. Like the series is a little up in the air. I'm still going to take Golden State until I'm proven otherwise because. They shouldn't have won Game 2, and they won it. And they have two games at home. I feel like Curry is going to go for 40 in both of those games, and I think he has to. What about Durant? So yeah, I know Durant's ruled out for Game 3. Any talk about Game 4?
Maybe Game 4, but he hasn't even practiced yet. So, you know, you'd like to think they would try to get him back. And I could see if they're down, you know, 2-1 going into Game 4, you might see. But I have a feeling Clay will play tonight. Their home crowd's going to be rocking. Like you said, I think Steph's going to go off. And they need to win these next 2 games because I think if they, you know, if it goes back 2-2 to Toronto, with Toronto having 2 of the last 3 games, it could be tough for them.
Going to be interesting, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, Game 7 in Toronto would be really interesting. I hope that happens. I wonder what Drake would wear to try to get the attention that game. Maybe it's a new tattoo. Maybe he gets a new tattoo.
I don't know. I don't think Drake will go there.
Yeah. For Game 7?
Oh, at home, yeah. But I don't think he's going to go to Golden State tonight.
Well, I could see that. No, why wouldn't he? I would if I were him.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either, but I'd say I would if I were him.
Because you got to chalk it up, man. They're probably going to lose tonight.
True.
So, you know, and, you know, who knows if people are like, listen, man, you need to back off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The whole thing's goofy.
Who do you think's going to win? So you think Golden State will win Game 3? Who are you taking in the series at this point?
Golden State.
Still?
Yeah, I've been taking Golden State all year. Yeah, no matter.
Yeah, I don't think it matters either because, you know, what we haven't talked about is the Warriors still have Draymond Green. And so if Klay Thompson doesn't play, I feel like Draymond could go for 30. You know, if they need 30 from him, I feel like he could do it.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, Boogie played a really good game last game. Yeah. He was winded as hell by the time he got to 28 minutes. But, you know, that's expected. And, you know, he looked like a mummy after the game. They had him all wrapped up, iced up. You know, Andrew Bogut played well. They had a lot of, you know, Quinn Cook came off the bench, played really well, hit some big threes. Their bench stepped up, and that's kind of been a weak spot for them this year. So, they're going to need that for sure.
Coming soon to Podcast One, the GG Podcast with Rick Fox, Jace Hall, and Todd Roy. Log on to see the world behind the esports you love and find out what good game really means from the trio who's taken the business by storm, including the 3-time NBA champion behind Team Echo Fox. Download new episodes of the GG Podcast every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
All right. Let's switch it over to unless you have any more NBA to talk about.
I got nothing, man.
Nothing. Oh, no, let's talk about everything. Let's talk a little bit about the freaking Lakers.
Oh, yeah, that dumpster fire.
What a dumpster fire. So, I've heard that they're going to be shopping that number 4 pick around. I was watching Coward maybe yesterday, the day before, Colin Coward. And he reported, or maybe he was quoting somebody else's report, that LeBron is very quietly trying to distance himself from the Lakers. And the Lakers are so toxic right now that I don't think any stars really want to go there. So if they whiff on that, there's a potential that he could try to ask for a trade or something like that. And I mean, he's locked into contract with for like another 2 years, 3 years, something like that.
Yeah, two and then an option.
Oh my gosh, what a mess.
Yeah, he's got to make it work.
You know what's crazy is like LeBron, and a lot of this had to do with him in Cleveland, the second turnaround. But LeBron has never really had a good front office, I guess, except for the Miami. Pat Riley kind of knew what he was doing there, but they also
Pat Riley had a real good,
And I think that was before the salary cap really, really expanded. So like they had like the three kind of max guys, and then they had nothing on the bench. I think you could do a little bit better now, but like I don't know, man. Like, can you, even if like Jimmy Butler went there, I don't think that would necessarily work.
Yeah. LeBron's a tough guy to play with.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to say like Jimmy and him, you know, could kind of complement each other, but I don't know, man, that's two big alphas there. Because Jimmy's going to want his say-so. He's going to want his stuff. You know, I don't know how he'd be, you know, playing like total back fiddle to LeBron. I don't know, man. They're, you know, I think them making the playoffs would be a big feat for this organization, because they just haven't been run well. Jeannie Buss obviously doesn't know how to manage her people that she hires to do stuff.
And she doesn't know how to hire either, I don't think.
Right. No, she doesn't know how to hire. She doesn't know how to fire. She's way too emotionally involved and stuff. And it's just kind of funny. They hired Frank Vogel to be the head coach, and he's not even getting to really pick his staff. They're just picking people who they think is going to, you know, they go and get Jason Kidd, who's never worked with Frank Vogel at all. It's basically there in case Frank Vogel comes out and goes 0-12.
Right.
And they can be like, all right, coach, all right, now we got Jason Kidd here because LeBron likes him. And now they got Lionel Hollins. You know, all these guys have never worked with Frank Vogel before. If I'm Frank Vogel, I'm besides taking a paycheck, although he's still getting paid by the Magic, I don't know why you take this job. Hey, I don't know why you take this job. I guess it's a Lakers job or whatever. I'd sit this one out, man. Like, this is not – I don't think this is going to end well for him. And he's at a position where his last place he went to, Orlando, failed. You don't want to go here and then fail really quick.
This is your last
LeBron
shot.
LeBron throws you under the bus. Like, I don't get it. I would not take that job. You know, if I'm Frank Vogel, I have no connection with LeBron at all. And then I don't get to hire my staff. Like, I'm basically being told, like, we're going to bring in guys that basically we know LeBron will at least like.
That can replace you quickly. So they're basically saying, we're going to hire you and we're going to give you the shortest leash in the history of the NBA.
Right. Right. Lionel Hollins is, you know, a winning coach and has been in the league for a long time. Jason Kidd's just a player's coach, and certain players love him, and him and LeBron have a relationship. So we're just picking people that basically fit, like, who LeBron's going to like. And these are basically your successors when you screw up.
It's crazy. I like, wouldn't have taken that job either.
No, like Tyronn Lue said, you got to give me 5 years.
Good for him.
That's what he told him. He said, I'm not doing a 3-year deal. You need to give me 5 years. Because if you ask me in the first year, at least I know I'm getting paid for the next four.
Right.
You know? That's a nice life. To not have to coach and get paid for 4 more years? Yep. So I don't know. If I'm Frank Vogel, I don't take that job. No way.
Yeah. I don't blame
you. No way.
I don't blame
you. Yeah. So crazy.
Cray, cray, cray. Let's talk about French Open, man. So you got Federer and Nadal. I think they might actually be playing today. So they'll have played by the time we air this episode. And I just got to say, Federer is like to me the anti-Serena Williams in that he's doing everything he can with his body to eke out another 3 months. you know? Right. And like, he's like so at the end, but he's in every freaking semifinal anyway. And I was shocked that he's playing the French Open. That to me leads me to believe that he's really on the tail end. He might retire sometime, because like usually he saves himself for Wimbledon, you know, and he just skips the French Open because Nadal always wins.
And they both won today. Nadal won and Federer won today.
Nadal. So Federer beat Wawrinka, and I don't know who Nadal beat. So they play each other in the semis.
Some guy from Japan, Nikarshi or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
So like Federer's 0-5 against Nadal, and I felt like this way with Tiger too. I always seem to root for Federer, even though he always wins everything, or used to always win. Now I like it because he's kind of an underdog, but very, very, very interesting to me that he does. Now Serena, by the way, lost early in the tournament. And I'm glad that she's kind of losing now, because people are off the, hey, maybe Serena would also win the men's draw if she was on the men's side. You know, the lunatics that are saying that. Serena is at the point now, I think, in her career where, you know, she's had the kid, and obviously she's not doing what Federer is doing. Like, her fitness looks awful to me. And I've been saying that for a while now, and I'm sorry, but that matters, especially as you get older. Because you can't just rely on your physical talent anymore, because the younger – I mean, you know, when you're – how old is she now? I think she's probably even younger than us still, Sam. But for tennis, that's ancient.
I'll look it up real quick. Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
I think she's in mid-30s, though. Like, you know, that is ancient. You know, and that's hard to have a kid. Yeah, you know, and then have a kid and try to bounce back from that, too. You know, that's a tough deal, you know.
Yeah, but didn't she have her kid like a while ago?
No, she's our age, man. She is 37.
That's old for a tennis player.
Yeah, yeah.
And Federer, is he a year older than us, or a year younger than us? I don't think he's our age exactly, or at least not my age. He might be your age. Like,
I don't know, but he looks older, man. I always feel like
every time I see him, he's lost another 5 pounds.
Yeah, he just, I don't know. He's always looked old to me.
He's basically, I think
it's just his hair, like his haircut, you know, like his haircut hasn't.
Those Swiss.
He's 37, so yeah.
Man, and he's still getting, he's just basically bones in a racket at this point. Like I think he's, he's like wearing, he's a Halloween costume. He's a walking Halloween costume. He's a skeleton with a racket.
Right.
He's still doing it. Like, he's going to be in the finals in Wimbledon. Well, I don't know, because he's putting a lot into the French Open, so maybe he won't be.
But, and Nadal's 33. I mean, you know, both of those guys, for tennis players, that's up there.
Nadal's interesting, because he's 33, but he has the body of a 45-year-old. Like, he's always breaking down, but he always seems to put it together in the French Open. It's like it gives him adrenaline rush or something.
Yeah, I mean, his body breaks down, but he's, you know, he's in shape, and, you know, he's, you know, he's cut up and stuff. He's just, I feel like he's just got brittle bones or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Nadal, just based on the French Open, can overtake Federer's total title mark. But then it also wouldn't shock me if Djokovic, because nobody, like, there's no young challenger still. We've been talking about this for, like, probably, you and me have been talking about this for years. There's no young challenger. It's like Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal, and that's it. And occasionally you might get, like, a tournament where Del Potro is healthy and breaks through and all that stuff. But crying out loud.
Yeah, and Andy Murray had a little run.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you get some guys here and there, but, you know, we need that next American, you know, tennis star.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kid Tiafoe. He ended up, I think he got sick and bounced early from the tournament, but it's a lot of hype, but not a lot of reason to be, you know, really excited about it. You're right. There's no, like, big American at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. We need that.
Especially the U.S. Open needs that.
For sure. For sure. Because you remember Andy Roddick, man, the whole country got behind that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he played. And,
he probably would have won four or five majors if it weren't for Federer.
Yeah,
Federer,
no,
these guys have
you know, had it locked down for the past, you know, 10 plus years.
It's crazy.
You know, like, locked down, you know, but that's the way it kind of goes. I mean, Sampras and Agassi were kind of that way before, and you had some, you know, Michael Chang,
you know,
you
had
Michael
too.
Chang, yeah, they kind of, like, bounced in there a little bit, but those guys kind of had it locked down for 10 plus years too. So that's kind of the way it goes. You kind of get a couple guys that just kind of hold it down. And, you know, we see it with golf too. We're waiting for the next, you know, huge golf guy to just like come on the scene and break out. And, you know, we have some guys that have had some, like, you know, some peaks, but then they go down again. But Phil and Tiger are still,
yeah,
you know, and even Sergio for that matter, they're still always in the running. And,
there's a guy, you know, there's just a guy that was in the running when Tiger won, and I think he won the PGA. I think he's like Koepka, or it starts with a K. I can't remember.
Oh yeah,
Koepka.
Yeah, he's kind of that next guy.
Yeah, he's pretty young, yeah. And I think he has four majors. And then they got I can't remember, Spate maybe, or
Spate.
Yeah, he's pretty young, and he has a couple majors too. So you never know.
Yeah, and Dustin Johnson had a little run, you know.
But, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, it's that longevity though. Like, who's gonna be around and be consistently solid for a long time?
You know? Yo yo.
Yeah.
Yep. NFL side, there's not really a ton of news. I mean, we're in mini camps. It's really the perpetual. The only thing that I see in the news pop up quite a bit is Odell Beckham. He finally showed up to mini camp, the mandatory stuff. So he showed up, missed all but like a handful or maybe like one practice of the non-mandatory camp. Right. You know. The Cleveland odds with a lot of this drama, though, the interesting thing is that the odds are actually decreasing. They were like the fourth rated team in terms of like Super Bowl odds, and they fell back into the pack. So like they're, you know.
Which is good, man. We thought they were way too high.
They were way overrated. You know? I can't wait. I'm still waiting on the season win over-unders to come out so I can talk about those, right, man. But there's going to be a couple of low-hanging fruit teams there. Like, I know, I just have a feeling that Washington, their over under is going to be like four, and Washington just always wins more than that. Even though they're not a good team, they just always find a way to win six, even with crud quarterbacks. They're just going to do it. Like, there's a lot of people saying that this coaching staff's on their last legs, and I think maybe that's true, but I don't know that there's a coaching staff that gets more out of their team than this coaching staff. They're just,
right,
you know, their entire offense has been hurt for two straight years, and they still end up winning like six, seven games a year. It's crazy to me. But anyway, there's that. College football, you know, Alabama and Clemson are still up there. Surprise, surprise. I hope somebody else wins this year. I think Clemson's going to run away with it, though.
Yeah. Just no, that guy, man, and that stallion they have back there. What's his name? Lawrence?
The quarterback, the guy with the flowing locks. I can't remember his name, but yeah.
What a stallion.
He's a stallion.
What a stallion.
Speaking of stallions, Bill and Ted 3, when's that going to hit?
Man, I don't know. I think they're going to start filming this summer.
They did. They announced it. I just don't know when the release date would be. And did you see John Wick yet, by the way?
I have not. I need to get to that, man. John Wick, man. This guy has reinvented his career, dude. You thought about it, like, Keanu, like, after The Matrix, did a bunch of, like, weird crap movies, and then, like, this is, like, you know, this is, like, the John Wick series has, like, resurrected him.
It's awesome, and he's really good in it, because you don't have to talk much. It's more about, you know, like, gravitas of the character. But I walked in, and so I went to, like, an afternoon movie. I went in and sat through the previews, saw some previews. I was like, okay. And then Juliette Lewis showed up on the screen with some like teenage girl. I'm like, oh, this is weird. So I kept waiting for them to die, you know, because I was like, dude, these girls aren't going to last long in John Wick's universe. And it got about 30 seconds in. I'm like, this is the wrong movie. So I raced out, and of course I was in the wrong theater. So I raced into the other one. So I was about like a minute or 2 minutes into Wick, and they were just already fighting. And the fight scenes in those movies, I think that's really the whole draw of the thing, is they're realistic fight scenes. You don't see people like on cables, like a lot of times you don't see a bunch of people on cables like being thrown in and all that stuff. It's like real, like tactical, almost like military style fighting and grappling and all this stuff, in addition to everything. If you're a guy and you haven't seen that movie or that franchise of movies, go see it, man. I mean, it's mindless
humor.
You're
not a guy.
Yeah.
You're not a guy.
You're not
if you're a
guy
and you haven't seen it, you're not a guy.
If you have testosterone.
And you know what, man? Like, he's done all his own stunts for that, and actually the guy that's directed all these movies was his stunt double for The Matrix.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, his stunt double for The Matrix is a director.
Oh, that's cool.
Of all the John Wick movies, he wrote and directed all the John Wick movies, so I think that's pretty cool. Like, they just, you know, he basically went for kind of like working, you know, with Keanu in like one way, and now like has like resurrected his career in like a whole nother way.
Yeah.
I think it's just cool. You know, Keanu just seems like such a good dude. And,
yeah, you know, there's a lot
you
of
hear
good
stuff about him right. all the time, you know, where like he's doing like stuff and he doesn't do it for press, but like he just does stuff and, you know, like pays people's houses off and stuff like that. And, you know, he won't even talk about it. Like yep. they tried to ask him in interviews and he's like, all right, let's talk about John Wick. Like, he doesn't want any of that press or anything. Just seems like a really good dude.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. Yeah, I mean, everything you hear about him is super nice. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. And it doesn't surprise me that the guy who was a stunt, you know, there's probably like a degree of loyalty there too, right? The guy probably wrote the movie and said, hey, you know, I think you would be good at this. And he's like, yeah, let's get it off the ground. Because the first one was more of like an indie type movie vibe. I mean, you could tell it was kind of lower budget. And now that they're popular, they're gaining budget, but it still has kind of the gritty feel, which I like. And it's like, it's just mindless. Right. It's mindless fighting. So if you're, you know, if you're into, the Manchurian Candidate or like one of the, you know, one of those movies.
Mm-hmm. Or even kind of the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
You know, like I think, you know, like some of the hand on like the hand to hand combat is very like Bourne, you know, and I love that shit. Like, how was Boban in it?
He was all right.
Yeah. He's okay. Then like, you know, I saw some of his stuff and I was like, oh, he had pretty good fight scene.
Yeah, I mean, it was everything in the movie.
You know,
was
for
good.
Being a 7'7" goofball.
I mean, it wasn't a long thing, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was the one in the library, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Spoilers. Yeah, okay. I probably saw most of it then. Yeah, well, I saw it on ESPN.
There you go. Yeah, probably. That was pretty good. What else was I going to say? I didn't love the introduction of Halle Berry into the movie, but I'll give her respect. She did pretty well. She did pretty well. Like, a lot better than I thought she would do. Let's say that.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Because I was not looking forward to that.
Is that like a love interest or?
I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
A little spoiler.
Okay.
No, it's good, man. And there's going to be another one for sure. There's a cliffhanger at the end. So. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Good, man. Well, I hope they keep going.
Yeah, man. All right, man. Well, I think we can call that an episode. You got anything else for the crowd?
Not much, man. Everyone be good.
Yep. Hey, everybody, pick up that Fantasy Football Almanac. Once again, go to Amazon.com, search for Fantasy Football Almanac or Sean Ryan or Functional Sportsaholic. Any of those will get you there, and it's awesome. All right, everybody else, hey, have a great week. Be good.